following up with the churches that they had already planted, as we saw last week. So we finished up there at the end, toward the end of the chapter, there at verse 35. Remember verse 32, Judas and Silas being prophets also themselves. So they were also prophets. And we saw what their desire was, not only to pass along what the meeting had come up with for these Gentile Christians, that they did not have to keep the law, but then they wanted to spend time strengthening the disciples, these new Christians in these churches, as we saw in verse 33. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So we see that they continued to teach and preach the word of God to these younger Christians and grounded them in the faith. And that was, of course, part of Jesus' mandate, was it not? Matthew 28. So Matthew 28:19-20, most of us know it says, "Go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost." What's the next verse? Anybody know the next verse? It says, "Teaching them to observe what? All things whatsoever I've commanded you." There's the big task. Teaching them to observe all things. And that's why when the apostles would see a church planted, they would stay there. Because they had to teach them the whole counsel of God. They had to teach them Old Testament. They had to teach them all the new things that God had given them that would eventually become the New Testament. Teaching them all things. And so that was why they would stay and strengthen the disciples. So let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I pray for your wisdom as we continue studying your word together. Guide us in your truth. And may each of us, Lord, listen and be changed by the power of your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, interestingly enough, it's not recorded here in the book of Acts. But while they were here at Antioch, it says in verse 35, Paul and Barnabas continued at Antioch. Something happened with Peter. He came along. And we're going to read about that. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. And Peter, obviously, didn't get the memo from Acts 15. Because what was the main point of Acts 15? It was to consider the question, do the Gentile Christians have to keep the law? That was the main point, wasn't it? These Jewish Christians were coming in and saying to the Gentile Christians, it's great that you've trusted Christ, now you need to get circumcised and keep the law. And the Gentile Christians didn't know any better. They just knew what they were told. And so they asked the apostles, is this true? And then the apostles had this conference and they came up with the answer. And the answer was no, you don't have to keep the law to abstain from fornication and then to abstain from anything related to heathen worship, like we saw last week. So then, while they were at Antioch, here in Galatians chapter 2, something interesting happened with Peter. And it's just this is just to show us that it doesn't matter how spiritual, how close to God you are, none of us are perfect. Amen? Everybody okay with that? And that includes Peter and Paul, as we're going to see. So here in Galatians 2, who would read verse 11 and to 13? 14. Thank you, Beryl. I would call this more cultural than spiritual. But here's Peter, Apostle Peter, who knows better, who God used to reach Cornelius for Christ. When it was only Gentiles around, what did he do but spend time with Gentiles? But, what does it say? As soon as James showed up, the pastor from Jerusalem, who was involved in this conference, he and the Jews went and stood in a separate part of the room and separated themselves from the Gentiles. This is Peter. And you got to give Paul credit to rebuke Peter publicly in front of everybody. That's a pretty bold move right there, isn't it? Because most people consider Peter like the head guy. And here Paul rebukes him and said, why, when you no longer follow Jewish law, why do you now try to compel these, or be an example to these Gentiles that they should separate, or these Jews that they should separate themselves from the Gentiles? That's not right. And he had to rebuke him publicly, and that happened at Antioch while Paul and Barnabas were there. And what's sad, did you see that even Barnabas was affected? Because it says there, verse 13, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. That means they separated themselves. They said, oh, Jews over here, Gentiles over here. You know, James walked in the door and Peter's got this pork sandwich in his hand. I'm just paraphrasing. And he immediately drops it and runs over to the other side of the room and stands with the Jews. Like, I'm still a good Jew. And Paul said, this is ridiculous. You shouldn't be acting this way. We just had a big conference and we understand now God saves everybody. We're all part of the body of Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. So stop this. Stop separating yourselves based on Jew or Gentile. And that's what I meant when I said it was just as much cultural, because there was nothing in the Bible, in the New Testament, there's nothing in the teachings of Christ that says that they should separate this way. This was the way they were raised. They were raised to always stay away from Gentiles because they considered them second-class citizens. Or dogs, as we saw with Christ and the Syrophoenician woman. So, any thoughts or questions about what happened there at Antioch before we carry on? Okay, so down in verse 36, something else happened. So now we're going to find out not only was Peter flawed, but so was Paul. So who would read 36 through 39, and we'll see. I should just read the rest of the chapter. Who would read 36 to the rest of the chapter? Any volunteers? Pastor Shannon, thank you.
And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them and from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches.
So here's Paul and Barnabas. Well, we already did a little bit of a study on Barnabas. Anybody remember what his surname was? The son of consolation. Remember? Son of consolation. That's because he had the gift of empathy. And we have already seen it in action. And so there was a time in their past when John Mark separated from them, or kind of gave up for a while. And Paul said, I'm not giving this guy a second chance. Barnabas said, we should give him a second chance. He wants to travel with us. Paul said, no way. He's let us down once. I'm not giving him a second chance. And the argument was so strong that Paul and Barnabas aren't going to travel together anymore. Barnabas is going to take John Mark. Paul's going to take Silas. But that's not the end of the story. Because if you go to Colossians chapter 4, what we find is that later on, John Mark actually became part of Paul's entourage again. and was helping Paul again. Which means, who was right in the argument? Paul or Barnabas? Barnabas was right. They should have given John Mark a second chance. Paul was wrong. And Paul eventually had to eat his words. Notice Colossians 4, verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Mark, a sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom he received commandment, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God. This is the same Mark. If you study it out, this Mark, a sister's son to Barnabas, is the same John Mark that they fought over. So eventually he became one of the few that were sticking with Paul toward the end of his ministry. But at this particular time here in Acts 15, Paul said, no, I'm not going to give him a second chance. And the argument was so stiff that Paul and Barnabas separated and went different directions. Can we learn anything from that? Before we go to chapter 16?
I think they were all sinners. They're all human. It doesn't matter, as we're all Christians and we all have, would be difference of opinion and so forth, but our faith in Christ is the thing that connects us in a sense. We may have, obviously, in Paul's point, they want to travel with Mark, maybe from his experience, he didn't think it would be good. But then on his strength, he accepted that he was wrong and then
yep.
took him back. So
amen.
One thing too, as a Christian, sometimes you say, okay, I'll admit I was wrong. Okay.
Good.
Carry on.
Very good. Anybody else? I like how God just gives us these little glimpses. I mean, I'm thankful that my flaws aren't recorded in the forever book. Amen? But they are for Peter and Paul, that we get to see not only the great victories that God wrought through them, but also their weaknesses and mistakes are recorded as well. And people have been reading about them for 2,000 years in the greatest book ever written. But it was good that we got this little glimpse into the fact that they are human. They make mistakes like all of us, but they go on. They get them dealt with, and they go on, and they keep serving God. Peter kept serving God until his death. Paul kept serving God until his death. And even though Paul had to rebuke Peter publicly, Peter didn't argue back or quit the ministry over it. Peter accepted what he heard, and he went on and served God. So that's all good and a very good example for all of us. So any thoughts or questions before we finish chapter 15 and dive into 16? Okay, so let's go into 16. And who would read down through verse 7 to get us introduced to chapter 16? Any volunteers? First seven verses. All right, Pastor. Okay, Beryl, thank you. Please.
And now when they have gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Lydia, they obeyed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not.
Amen. So we have a bunch of things in the first part of this chapter. First of all, we have this young man named Timotheus, one of Paul's preacher boys, that Paul then took under his wing, mentored, and then eventually established him as a pastor. And even then wrote him two epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy. I don't know about you, but I get a lot of blessing out of those epistles. There's some great scriptures in there. And they were written to this man named Timotheus. And again, Paul went and established him as the pastor in which city? I think it's at the end of 2 Timothy. I always forget. Ephesus. He was the pastor. He was ordained the pastor at Ephesus. And here we see the beginning of that relationship where Paul meets this young man. He's recently believed. He was half Jew, half Greek. That would have been tough for any young man in Bible days. And so why did Paul have him circumcised? After we just had chapter 15. Any thoughts? The Bible actually tells us why. Well, one of the clues is he was half Jew. So Paul wouldn't have done it if he was a Gentile. But because he was half Jew, Paul wanted him to have as effective as an outreach to the Jewish people as possible, as much as to the Gentiles. And so because he was half Jew, Paul wanted him to be able to say, yes, I can relate to you Jewish people, when he preached the gospel to them, when he taught them, and so forth. If he would have been Gentile, it wouldn't have been an issue. But because he was half Jew, Paul thought it best that this would make him more effective as a witness to the Jewish people. And that was his reasoning. It wasn't that he was that the scripture commanded it. It was, as it explains there, because of the Jews which were in those quarter, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So because Timothy was already known to be a half and half, and because of all the Jews in that quarter, Paul thought it best to have Timothy circumcised, which he did. And later on, of course, after years of training and taking him under his wing, he becomes a pastor. And then Paul writes the epistles to him. But what they're doing is now they're going back to these churches one by one and establishing them in the faith, grounding them in their understanding of New Testament doctrine. Notice verse 4, as they went through the cities, they delivered them to decrees for to keep that were ordained to the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. So these decrees would have been coming directly from God through the apostles, who many were given the gift of prophecy to speak the word of God. Remember, the New Testament's still not written, but they need something. They need guidance, especially when there's not a prophet around or when there's not an apostle there to guide them. They need something, and so they're delivering these decrees, which eventually become scripture, to say this is God's plan for us in the New Testament age. And notice verse 5, the result, the churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. What a blessing. People were getting saved. Everybody was witnessing like they were supposed to. But what I wanted us to see in the first part of this chapter was how the Holy Spirit will lead us if we are being led by Him. We as Christians are commanded, let's go to Ephesians 5, to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? It's not an option, it's a command. We're going to talk about commandments. One of the New Testament commandments for Christians is to be filled with the Spirit. Who would read Ephesians 5 and verse... we'll just do verse 18. Or 17 and 18. You volunteers? Ephesians 5, 17 and 18. Thank you, Eileen. So first of all, he says in verse 17, we're to be understanding what the will of the Lord is. That means we can understand what the will of the Lord is, or we wouldn't be commanded to understand it. Then he goes on to say, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That is something that we as Christians have to work on every day. It'd be nice if we could just go to an altar and say, from this day forward, I'm going to be filled. It doesn't work like that. Every day we have to yield. Every day we have to surrender. Every day we have to empty self and crucify self so that God can fill us and guide us. And what we're finding here in Acts 16 is an example of what happens when people are filled with the Spirit. They are sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 and we'll see that that is one of the earmarks of being a child of God, is that the Holy Spirit leads us. Who would read Romans 8:14? Jackie? So it's only at the little three-letter word, the word led, but that's a big word for us, isn't it? Led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Remember when we were in Acts 13, let's go back there and review. Who was it that led the church to put their hands on Paul and Barnabas to be sent out? We can say, oh, it was the church. But notice verse 2 of Acts 13. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. So it was the Holy Ghost working through the church that said, ordain and send out these men to be church planters. The Holy Ghost said. What it means is that the church there at Antioch was sensitive to the Holy Spirit, who was then leading them as a body to make these decisions. So now let's go back to Acts 16, now that we have this little bit of background. And notice these words. First of all, verse 6, the word forbidden. And verse 7, the word suffered them not. Or the word suffered them not. What do you see there in those words? Brother?
They were being controlled by the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
They were being led by the Spirit.
Exactly.
They were allowing Him to lead, which we most Christians have a problem.
Yep.
They don't want to allow someone to lead us.
I mean, here you are. You're a church planter. You're going to a region, right?
Yeah.
Which city do you go to next? Some people got saved, got a church planted here. I've been grounding these people. What's next? Which city next? Because they all need me. They all need the Lord. Christianity is brand new. So it's not like, well, if I go to that city, there's already three good churches there. No, there's none. Every city's new to the gospel. So how do they know where to go? God told them through the Holy Spirit. Verse 7. They wanted to go, verse 7, into Bithynia. They said, yeah, Bithynia looks like a good place. We've done our research. That's definitely the next town. Let's go there next. And it says the Holy Spirit suffered them not. The Holy Spirit is God. And this is God saying, that's not the next city. Then in verse 8, and they passing by Mysia came to Troas. Sorry, that went too far. Verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Oh, I didn't go far enough back. Verse 6, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, were forbidden the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So first they wanted to go to Asia. God said no. Then they wanted to go to Bithynia. God said no. Interesting. God is saying, don't go there, don't go there. And what happens next, that night, after God has said no, no, to these two places, Asia and Bithynia, that night, Paul's going to have a vision, and God's going to tell him where to go. Anybody ever heard of Macedonia? That's where they were to go next. So these guys were being led by the Spirit. But it's the same Holy Spirit, amen, that lives in us. He leads us too. He leads us where to go if we will but listen. And then Paul was given a vision, as we'll see, and they said he saw people in Macedonia praying. It's there in verse 9 saying, come over and help us. Brother?
Many Christians will ask you, how do I get led by the Spirit? In Ephesians, if you carried on from where we were, in verses 19 and 20, it tells you. tells a Christian how to be saved by the Spirit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We have to empty self. We have to yield and let God be in control. But that's difficult to do because we're selfish and self-centered and full of pride. But if we will allow the Spirit to lead us, He will do just that. And here we have a classic example. Because these guys, they were fervent for the Lord. I mean, here they've already given up their lives to serve Jesus Christ. It's not that they're doing anything wrong. They're planting churches. They're winning people to Christ. They're growing Christians. And they're like, Lord, we're going to go into Asia. They need the gospel. And God said no. Well, okay, we're going to go into Bithynia. They need the gospel. And God said no. I want you to go to Macedonia. God is sovereign. We need to let Him be sovereign in our lives. Amen? So we'll talk more about that next week. How God led them straight to Macedonia. And some great things happened there. As we'll see. Any thoughts or questions about that?